Good morning. I'll be reading from Mark 10, 17 through 21. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit the eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not give false testimony, you shall not defraud, honor your father and mother." "Teacher," he declared, "all these I have kept since I was a boy." Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said, "go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and then come follow me."
Who is good? Who is good? And it isn't amazing that Jesus, the Son of God, would say, "Who is good except God?" Have you ever noticed that when you have the opportunity to serve, and particularly when you have the opportunity to serve people who really need help, and the greater the need, and the more that they can't meet their own need, isn't it amazing how it fills you with a sense of, wow? Sometimes we get to experience it right here on the streets where we are. You help pick somebody up. You open a door for someone who's really in need of that kind of thing. A thousand ways. But of course, it becomes more intensified. And this is one of the reasons why our kids love going. You need to come tonight to hear about their work in the Dominican Republic or to Haiti or wherever it may be that we go and there are people who need help. And we come back telling stories about how good it feels to help. Could it be that when we go and provide something for someone who can't provide it for themselves, that we step into a very special part of the nature of God? And that we ourselves become people to bring mercy, a people to bring goodness. And it reminds us, and it becomes this vehicle by which we get to be someone who says, "You know what, God, I know how good you've been to me. I want to pass that goodness onto other people." Make no mistakes, we just blessed the teachers, and on a daily basis they're in that process. Unfortunately, they have to put it in certain categories and write it up in certain ways that maybe some of the joy is stolen from it, but I believe that every day there's a moment where they realize that kid needed me, and I got to step into it, and it felt good to help them as only I could. Psalm 34 and Psalm 31 reflect in this way. Taste. God invites us, has always invited. Taste and see that the Lord is, can you say it with me, that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one, and again, understand we take refuge because we need refuge. We need his protection and mercy and love. Psalm 31 says it this way. How abundant are the good things that you have stored up for those who fear you. The good things that you bestow inside of all those who, again, the needy ones who take refuge in you. In the shelter of your presence you hide them. From all human intrigues, you keep them safe in your dwelling from accusing tongues. The good things that God does. As our list of fruit of the Spirit, as our aspects of how the Spirit wants to fill us and what should be overflowing or what can be and what it calls for us to overflow in, is this word goodness. And it's a little bit weird that it's there. Because in many ways it could be seen as the thing that it should sum up all other things, except in this list and in many others, Paul talks about love as the thing that sums things up. So let's just for a minute think about what it is for the fruit of goodness to come forth in us. Goodness and being good is only something from the Father. Amen? Every once in a while, you and I get to be, and please forgive this, God-like. That doesn't mean that we become people who are worshipped. Paul experienced that, and he said, no, you're misunderstanding. We're just humans. We get to be God-like in the sense that we get to step in. And when you read particularly the Old Testament, what you discover is that the goodness of God is almost always associated with the way He cares for those who can't take care of themselves. The way He defeats the evil of oppression, the evil of power being heavily laid on people who cannot resist, and the way He pulls them out of that, and the way He redeems them, and the way He stands up for those who can't stand up for themselves. By the way, you and I are part of that group, aren't we? If not for the saving, blessed love and blood and life and resurrection of Jesus, where would we be? Lost. Lost in sin. He did something for us that we couldn't do for ourselves. But understand that it comes in so many forms. The prophets will over and over again talk about, if you really want to be God's people, then you got to figure out how to help those who can't help themselves, the poor and the needy, because that's what God does. And we are invited to bring that idea of goodness, God-likeness, into our own lives. Again, a process that requires us to open our eyes, open our ears. But more than that, we've spoken of this in other gifts, but I want to particularly emphasize it here, that we do it in such a way that does not humiliate those that we are helping, but lifts them up and blesses them. Goodness. Goodness. The good of God being displayed in the life of Christ in so many different ways. And the good of God through His Spirit filling us so that it can overflow into every life that we come in contact with. The word good starts at the very beginning, doesn't it? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And we get done with day one and what's said. And day one was finished, and God said it was good. You need to understand that part of what's going on in that chapter one creation story is the idea that evil and chaos can have their way of breaking everything down. And then God comes in and says, you don't win the day, I will put it in order. And when I'm done, it no longer looks like evil chaos. It looks like good. My good. My good that brings blessing. My good that cares for things as only I can care for it. Church, just think for a second that when we open our lives to the Spirit, we step into the world, and as God confronted, fought against, and changed what evil wanted to produce, He said it was good. And you have the opportunity not simply to be part of His good, but to be an agent for good everywhere you go. So that while evil and chaos may be the way people walk in the door, when they walk out of your presence, God looks and says, it is good. We invite the Spirit to come, and the text tells us that as those who have put Him on in baptism, we are filled. Amen? But have you invited Him to come in such a way that He energizes you and creates a new serendipity within you that it is overflowing into the world around you? You are called, and we've been calling every week, to be those who speak in every prayer, come, Holy Spirit, into my life. I don't know what you need to come for today. I do know, and I'm excited about it. It's going to be a cool Sunday. We have three families placing membership with us this morning. And that's good. Amen? Amen. But if you need to come for any reason, we don't know that you need to come. You need to come and tell us why you need to come. It may simply be that you need to reach over to the person next to you and say, I need you to pray with me about, and that's okay. It may be that you need to find me or Peter or one of the elders when this is over and say, we need to pray about this. Or if perchance, today is the day that you decide for your life to be a new creation, just like those first 6 days. And you say, I can't do it myself. I need the love and mercy and forgiveness of God and His blood to be applied to me. I want an old life to go into the water and I want a new life to come out of it. And for God to say, when we're done with that process, it is, say it with me, good. If you need to come for any reason, would you come as we stand and as we sing?
Father of mercy.